Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hi, Ben. There's so much golf going on, I can hardly keep up. We've got the men's amateur underway, the U.S. amateur. PGA Tour's got the Wyndham Championship, and everybody's trying to get into the FedEx Cup, and many did not. The English Open is underway. Pinnacle Bank Championship on the Corn Ferry. LPGA has the Women's Scottish Open. Oh, the Champions Tour. They're playing the Shaw Charity Classic. But let's get back over to Scotland because we're going to kick off the show. Welcome into the clubhouse. It's on the radio, of course, streaming live around the world. Aloha from Hawaii and podcast. If you don't catch it live, radiogolfclub.com is where you go to get the stream and the podcast. And from Scotland, Lewin Mair is going to be with us, senior writer, Global Golf Post, covering the Women's Scottish. Karen Palacios Jensen, creator of Cardio Golf and LPGA Master and Golf Digest Magazine, top 50 golf fitness pro. We're going to get some fitness inspiration going on. Matt Adams, Golf Channel, NBC, Equipment Pro, New York Times bestselling author, host Fairways of Life show, and you've probably seen him on a Golf Channel's Golf Central hosting this week. He's going to be joining us in the clubhouse. Talk about so many announcements were made when the Olympics were over. All of a sudden, poof, this is what we're going to do in the future. And Diana DeLucia, founder, editor, publisher, Golf Kitchen, and her awards are coming up in less than a month. I'm glad she has time to come on and talk to us. It's going to be partly cloudy today, scattered overnight and early morning showers we've had already, but the high today expected to be only 88 degrees. The low tonight, 72. The northeasterlies, 15 to 20. That's going to make it nice to sleep. We'll be back after this. Lewin joining us. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. Brought to you by these fine sponsors. Dr. Carlson's Spine and Pain Clinic in Kailua. MD Restoration Water Flood Broken Pipe Cleanup 24/7. Aloha Power Equipment. We keep power at your fingertips. Honolulu Sign, now at 1724 Hart Street, one block Mauka of Nimitz. Sue's Electric and Cranes, Inc., keeping Hawaii powered and lifted for 60 years. High-rises, shopping, and commercial centers. Houses and RCM construction for your Spalding repairs. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And let's get straight over to Scotland. Lewin Mair, Global Golf Post senior writer, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you.
It's good. I mean, I've been watching television, and I'm looking at the Firth of Forth. Is that correct?
You're looking, they've got three in the lead. Is that what you're asking me? Sorry, well, the line isn't brilliant.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, the beautiful, the new...
Oh, the Firth of Forth. Yes. I thought you were saying that somebody was finishing fourth.
No, the Firth of Forth, Dunbarry Links, this new links course that looks absolutely amazing.
It is absolutely beautiful, and you look across to there, the view you've got is right over to North Berwick on the left, and if you look across to the right, you see the start of Edinburgh. It's a sensational place. I mean, that whole coastline will one day be full of wonderful golf courses. I mean, it is already, but this is the odd spot where you could slip in another, but this is a wonderful course, and I think every American who comes over to Scotland will want to include it.
It's 345 acres on the historic Balcars Estate. Is that correct?
It's probably as correct as I would guess it, yes. I mean, it's just a beautiful place. It used to be full of sheep and cows, and then this chap, Malcolm Campbell, who used to be a golf writer, he was walking along there one day, and he thought, in his mind's eye, he forgot the sheep and thought that golfers should be there,
wow.
And very soon, that was the start of things,
wow.
And Clive Clark, the designer, has done a wonderful job on it.
Oh, Clive Clark, Ryder Cupper, that's all I know about him. Is this his first course?
No, he's done several. He lives in America. He lives in California. He used to, you know, live over here. He was a great amateur and then a very good pro and as you say, a Ryder Cup player, very good player. And I think he started, you know, I remember writing about him years ago, and he used to be good at ballroom dancing as well as golf, so his rhythm was impeccable.
Wow. Well, then he'd fit right into the 424-year-old Balcarres house with the family Lord Anthony and Lady Balmille there, you know? I mean, I just am thrilled that there's a house there that's 424 years old that you can still see standing. There's so much, some people I know in Europe say, gosh, I wish I had a modern house. But, you know, people are talking about a high-rise that's 50 years old now and saying, we need to make it new again. And tear it down? Yes, it's 50 years old. Like, that's ancient. It's good to see. It's good to see this. And I want to go just knowing that there's so much history and it's so beautiful. And the reviews say the food is fantastic and the staff is great. So those two things, plus the gorgeous golf course, and I'm on my way. I'm going to switch right over to slow play on the LPGA because you've been talking with the ladies on the tour. Stacey Lewis was certainly right out in not just talking to people. She was on television, the perfect person to actually bring it to the fore because, you know, Stacey Lewis is not, she's not controversial. She's solid. She's a great player. And she says she's tired of this, you know, lackadaisical, mamby-pamby style. You know, let's pick up the pace. You were talking with her.
Yes, yes. No, she's absolutely right because if we're honest, it can get painful to watch when it's terribly slow. And, you know, Stacey was saying that it's no good giving these girls nowadays because they're all earning pretty good money. If you say it's a £1,000 fine for whatever they've done, they'll just happily pay the £1,000 and carry on at the same pace. But, you know, if you deal with in shots and tell them that they're going to get a shot for keeping everybody waiting or even two shots, well, then they start to pay attention, and that's what needs to happen. And the officials mustn't be scared of doing this.
Yeah, there's one thing that she also mentioned, something she wants to see more spot timing and, of course, penalty strokes, not just fines. What is spot timing?
Well, spot timing, I think it means that you can just do, if you're, you know, these officials be on the course and they might spot somebody out of the corner of their eyes, go across and see that they're, you know, taking forever with their routines and everything, and they'll just go across and start timing them, and maybe even while they're not watching. But it's all pretty complex, and, you know, but I think that's what they're meaning by that. But it's certainly got to get a whole lot stricter.
Yeah.
Because it's gone on for ages, because, you know, they'll pick up a bit of speed, and then they'll slow down again.
Well,
and I had a very interesting conversation between, you know, Sophie Popov, the girl who won our Open last year, the Women's Open. She was saying that she was talking to Nellie Korda the other day, and they both agreed that there were plenty of occasions when they would hit their drives and be ready to play their seconds, and the other girls in the group wouldn't even have started thinking about what clubs they would be taking. And so, you know, they just can't believe that they can be so slow.
Yeah, and we got spoiled because watching Olympic golf, it was fast. They were moving. There was no slow play at the Olympics.
Well, I don't know because I've done a piece for Global Golf Post for Monday, and the girls that came back, I was asking them, you know, if they would change the format at the Olympics. And they said, all of them, actually. I wasn't speaking to the Americans, you know. Nellie Korda wasn't there, of course. And I think Lydia was absolutely shattered when she got back. So this was the start of the week I was speaking. But they say golf is slow. And though it may not look to have been slow, if you're just looking at golf, if you look, compare it to some of the other sports that they've got now, like skateboarding, and you're going to have breakdancing next time, it makes you realize that golf can look pretty slow. And, you know, the girls were very conscious of this. Davis, and Mel Reid said that she was speaking to some of the other athletes, and they would say to her, now, how long does golf take? You know, is it over in 10 minutes, or how long does it take? And that it was 5 hours a day or whatever for 4 days, and they just couldn't believe what they were hearing.
Yes, it's a good point. So what would they like the format to be?
Well, I think there's a lot of people are thinking about match play. There's no doubt about it.
I would like to see teams. I mean, if it's Team USA,
teams, they
right?
They want it in teams, yes.
Yes.
You've got to have match play, and it's got to be in teams, yes.
Yeah, yeah. That, well, we'll see what happens. It certainly, it seemed like they were going faster, and they were shooting for score. You know, they weren't, I don't know, there didn't just seem to be a slow pace. Maybe it's just I'm so used to being so slow watching television and getting bored. Waiting for them to decide what to do. Stacey Lewis also had a great point. She said, you know, when I'm hitting, it's just like Mel Reid said, they should be already have their club pulled and be ready for their shot. And she also mentioned that the women she started playing with, you know, the older, the senior players who are on the Legends Tour now, they played fast. And that's what women today on the LPGA need to do. They need to pick up the pace. And I just thought it was brilliant. I couldn't agree with her more.
Yeah. And I just remembered a funny thing that Joanne Carner said. I was asking her when Laura Davis first started going over to America. And I was asking her what she thought of Laura. And she said, Laura plays at a speed to suggest that she's got something better to do at the end of it.
Yes. Okay, ladies, let's enjoy this because we got something going on at home, you know, or a party to go to. We've got dinner. So there were 31 players at the Olympics who actually came all the way from Japan to Scotland to play this tournament. That what a kudos to the 31 who made the journey. How was it?
Absolutely marvelous. Absolutely marvelous, all those who've come. I mean, you know, it just amazes me what they do. I was speaking to an Argentinian girl. I'm afraid her name escapes me at the moment because my cat is sitting on top of my list of names. But I'm sorry about that. But this Argentinian girl told me that when she went to the Olympics, she was because they were so far away from the course, she was having to get up at between 4 and 5 in the morning, and then it was about an hour and a quarter trip to the course, 2 hours back, and then, you know, all day playing golf. And, you know, she looked very pale, poor girl, by the time she turned up on the practice ground at Dunbarney Links. But I think, you know, the sort of a nice bit of wind at Dunbarney had her, you know, injected a bit of colour into her. But she, my goodness me, I think several of them looked very, very tired.
I can't imagine why. Even youth can't get over that kind of jet lag and that kind of schedule. And it was hot, so hot. You know, that'll take it out of you every time.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, if you're playing, obviously they're playing very slow. Well, they're not playing that slowly in the Olympics, but, you know, if you're playing slowly and you're waiting all around in the heat, it really is hard work, isn't it?
Yes.
It is asking a lot of them.
Yes, yes. Lexi Thompson, her caddy just couldn't take it. And I think that had an impact on Lexi at the bottom line, you know, having to see her caddy in such distress. That must have such a distraction. Those kinds of distractions are hard to get over. Let's go to the Women's Scottish Open, and I'm looking at this leaderboard. Now, I was pretty comfortable. Arya Jutanugarn had a pretty strong lead. She was up there. Was it 4 strokes? Now there's a 3-way tie with 9 strokes under. Ryan O'Toole has come on really strong. Charlie Hull and Arya Jutanugarn, they're all tied for the lead at 9 under. 8 under, we've got Ashley Buhai and Athia Thitko, 8 under. And Anna Nordqvist is 6 under. And Lydia Ko, Celine Boutier, and Marina Alex Yelimino, 5 under. What a great leaderboard this tournament has.
there's something like 8 different nationalities in the top 10 or 11 or something.
Yes.
I mean, it's fantastic leaderboard. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and I left someone out from Scotland. You need to call me on this. Kelsey MacDonald. She's also...
Kelsey MacDonald. Oh, she's wonderful. I mean, what's so fascinating is that the Scots, having this chance, in this Scottish Open, because now we've been having the LPGA girls coming across for a couple of years. I mean, she now feels at home among these top players, and my goodness, she's looking good.
Yeah.
No, it's a really great effort.
Yes.
She was playing alongside Ryan O'Toole today. I can't remember who the other one was in the group, but it's lovely to see the local players coming on.
Yes.
But going back to what you said about the caddies, do you know, I remember a time when the caddies really were not fit, and if you'd asked them to go round in this incredible heat, they couldn't have done it at all. But now these caddies are training along with the players. You see them in the fitness truck, and they have to be that fit. So it's an extraordinary about change for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it truly is. They're all fit and getting going, and there's no big tummy on them anymore. That used to be the sort of, you could tell who the caddy was off the course because he had the nice padding. Good padding.
I mean, this is an extraordinary memory, but I remember at Sunningdale one year that one or two of them were sleeping under a hedge. Now they're, they've got plenty of money and they're doing really well, but they have to work for it, and they really do. I mean, they're such a professional bunch nowadays. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. And I was looking earlier, I counted in the top 20 on the leaderboard, 4 players from the Philippines. This,
yes.
What a, a charge. And I was trying to remember the first, was it twins who came from the Philippines before Aria and Moria came over here? They didn't do well. They kind of, it was a little too soon for them. They were very young. I think they started at 13. And then the, Jutanagarns came. And they showed us that this is strong. They are strong. And there are so many young women. Now, Afaya Titikul, she is powerful.
Oh, amazing. Yes, these Thais are all, they're good and strong. They're very, very good players. And Araya, not so long ago, you had Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott on your show. Now, they did an awful lot. They're the men, the very good on, the mental training and mental side of golf. And they had Aria under their wing. And she was going too fast at one time. And if she got nervous, she'd quicken up and get faster and faster. So they had to think of a way to slow her down. And what made me think of them today is that you could see Aria whistling as she went after just making one bogey, which was jolly good because a lot of us wouldn't be whistling. But she's learned to do that. And then I remember when she won the British Open at Woburn a few years ago, sat down between shots, she would pinch the officials' chairs, the ones who were sitting, at various points on the course. And eventually they were all getting up to give her their seat, like as if she were an old lady.
Here, honey. You need it more than I do.
Exactly. But
yeah.
She's definitely learnt. You see her looking very assured, and she's managing to cope. Whatever you throw her, she can deal with it. And she finished bogey today and came off smiling.
Yeah,
now, I must tell you that the smiles on that women's tour far outdo the smiles among the men, because I tuned into the Kazoo Open, which is a very strange name, which is happening at the men's event, and they look bleak, and no reason to look bleak, because they were playing on a lovely course, but there aren't a lot of smiles from the men, and I'm afraid the women outdo them on that score.
Oh, what do you think the problem is with the guys? They need to be, more macho, can't show that, they're having a good time, don't want to be too friendly because they're competing against each other?
No. know. I just think maybe it has something to do with the fact that there are not many spectators yet.
Oh.
But they just need reminding. People need to say to them, you know, they need to be told, you should be smiling more. You should, you know, to look as though you're jolly pleased to see people there and everything else. And I think they just forget. But some of them look positively doom-laden.
Truly. And it's interesting, too, because when you say about no spectators, that they really love to show off. You can't, of course, you know, it's not like you want to have a good time when you're with your buddies. You can't, and then you have all these distractions, but they're not with their buddies. They're playing and they're competing, but there's no one to cheer them on. And that makes a big difference in demeanor and the feeling you have about how you're doing. It's great talking with you, Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post senior writer. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Aloha. We're going to come back and get a little exercise. Karen Palacios Jensen, CardioGolf.com, LPGA Master, teaching professional, lead instructor for Golf Channel after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door.
Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Karen Palacios Jensen, CardioGolf.com, Cardio Golf and Cardio Golf TV creator. She's LPGA Master Teaching Professional, Lead Instructor for Golf Channel, and Golf Digest Top 50 Best Golf Fitness Trainer. The only LPGA professional on the list. All right, you can find her at cardiogolf.com. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thanks for having me, and I love the way you pronounce my name.
Working together?
Yes. Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, is now on the board of directors for the European Tour, and this makes sense. And a lot of the reasons why things like this, in my opinion, happen are for the things that you don't necessarily readily see. Oftentimes, it has to do with rights and has to do with distribution product and the value of the same and how you negotiate the same. The PGA Tour, as you probably already know, is assisting the LPGA Tour in terms of taking their product to the marketplace and going, okay, where are we going to dole out our coverage and who's going to pay what for it and who's going to be able to see it when and where and how? And that all comes down to money. And the leagues are trying to maximize the value. The new media contract for the PGA Tour kicks off at the end of this year in 2022. ESPN starts to come in with digital content that they're going to have in terms of the PGA Tour. NBC and Golf Channel continue to keep a big chunk of it. CBS obviously will too. So the landscape will change in terms of media, mostly in terms of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, how it's produced and where it's produced and then how it's distributed around the world. The European Tour is looking to shore up their finances. They're doing fine, but they're looking to shore up and get more for their product on a global basis. The fact that the Scottish Open and two events, lesser events admittedly, but two events on the PGA Tour are co-sanctioned events is really good. Again, going down the line, if you boil it down to winners and losers, really good for Europe that the Scottish Open is now a co-sanctioned event.
Sure.
And they've been hoping to put together a Lynx golf run-up leading to the Open, meaning the Irish Open and then the Scottish and then the Open itself. And if I'm hopeful, I've got my fingers crossed that we're waiting to hear that the Irish Open will be announced as a co-sanctioned event as well. Now, I'm not giving you any type of inside information, like I know that that's coming,
right,
but there's been a lot of rumors of it, and so any of us Irish people are hopeful that that happens, because that, as a result, could bring in more of PGA Tour players, because it would be a co-sanctioned event. They could get acclimated, and they could have a good run leading into the Open. I think it would be tremendous for the game and a lot of fun for fans, because we'd have such a huge exposure to Lynx golf.
Yes, we love watching European. No, the reason I asked, I know the PGA Tour and the European Tour are working together, but you know that if the World Golf Rankings, the official World Golf Rankings, is going to hurt the European Tour, I don't, you know, it just seems like we want to raise up everybody in the game, not have some global superpower. It's like politics. It's a global superpower. We should be raising each other up. I like it that the LPGA and the LET are working together. We need to raise everybody up so that across the board, there's feeder tours. And I understand that the best rise to the top. And that's just Mother Nature and thinking smarts. What were you saying about that? Power, physicality, and being smart, how you play the game. But it just seems like if this is, you know, the official World Golf Ranking isn't going to be good for the European Tour, I just don't understand that.
Well,
and
you
don't need to comment.
What they closed in circling back to the World Rankings was, in essence, a loophole. And even though it's not going to benefit the European Tour, because the European Tour benefited from the loophole, it was still a loophole and it shouldn't have been there. It was inequitable and wasn't fair. In terms of the European Tour itself, there is not a player that ascends on that tour that doesn't want to go to the PGA Tour. In the food chain that is the world of golf, the absolute number one predator is the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
They are number one. And it's not a question of global equity or balance. It is unequivocal. It is absolutely the PGA Tour. So the European Tour should not be hurt from the standpoint of what it basically is a developmental tour for players that eventually want to evolve onto the PGA Tour. It's still going to be that. It's going to be exactly what it always has been. It just will not be possible now for someone to go to the European Tour with the specific intent of exploiting a system that they can get inside of whatever number you want to define it as, whether it's top 100 or top 50 or top 75 or top whatever. You could do that previously by taking that route. It's going to be much more difficult to do it that way now.
Got it. On Ricky Fowler, I'm sure he wanted to be in a better position and rise to the top, just like Adam Scott has done, is now tied for second, I believe, or is he in second place? No, he's not quite that far up. He's tied for fifth. But he's making changes. He's working towards something. Or do you see some other problem that he has? What's your take?
It's interesting. We were talking about this last night on Golf Central, because if you look at 2017, right? I didn't even go back to 2014 when he finished in the top five in all four majors, et cetera, et cetera. But then he wins the Players' Championship after that. I'm going 2017. 2017 was number one strokes gained putting, number one. This year, same category, same measure, he was 131st, not even average on the tour. And it's almost to a point of cliche that every time Ricky's making a putt on television, that the announcers will say he's, you know, one of the best putters in the game. Well, statistically, in the year that was, he wasn't. And you can look at that and go, is that a diminishment of that particular skill? And obviously an argument can easily be made that it is, but more likely what it is because he's concentrating on other areas. That part of his game has been put under more stress because the more trouble you're having getting the ball to the target, the more trouble you're going to have getting it into the hole. And he said after yesterday's round that in the past, he's been able to rely on his putting to get him out of a lot of jams.
Yeah.
And I just think he's in a jam right now that's beyond something that the putter can just free him of, because it's again, it works backwards through a player's golf bag. The more concerning things to me was that Ricky spoke openly yesterday about the fact that his confidence has taken a hit. And it's not often that players talk openly about what their confidence level is. Rory McIlroy being an exception, he's often said that confidence can waver from one hole to the next, sometimes from shot to shot. But I've never heard Ricky really address confidence before and saying that he needs to work on building up his confidence again. So there's clearly an element of searching that's going on here. I'm not taking away from the fact that he is working. He has been working on changing his swing for a long time. But I think there's some element of the five-inch fairway between the ears. And maybe playing through it would help him, but playing through it has not helped him yet. So this forced break that he's going to get during the FedEx Cup playoffs, I don't know, maybe it's a reflective period. You know, he's got life changes coming too. They've got a baby on the way. There's just a lot going on for him right now. He's a quality player. He has been for over a decade. So it's reasonable to believe that this is just going to be a blip that he'll work his way through. And certainly anyone that's a fan of Ricky Fowler can hope that, but it doesn't change the reality of where he's at right now, and where he's at right now is not a great place.
No, let's hope he does a Jordan Spieth. Matt Adams, host, Fairways of Life, thank you so much for being on the show.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Good luck with everything. You're doing an amazing job.
Oh, thank you. You are. It's great watching on Golf Central. Aloha.
Thank you.
Diana DeLucia. She's doing an amazing job, too. And she is about to have the third annual Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards at Glen Arbor. And this time, boy, those awards take on a whole new meaning. We'll be with her right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
KORL YNI Honolulu.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door.
Hey, that's a beautiful door. Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Whatever your trade, you need more customers. Filling your restaurants, buying your cars, renovating high-rises, using your realty company, buying insurance from you, putting air conditioning in their offices. You need customers. Get them by advertising on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have great quality listeners like yourself with ad packages that start at just a few $100s. Call Rick at 808-220-1000 or email him rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Our listeners are consumers too.
The Golf Club tip number 47. When mad about your slice, don't hit the tree with your driver. Break it over your knee. Now, back to the Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
I have to tell him not to do that anymore. Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief, publisher, Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine, and coffee table books. Welcome into the clubhouse. Diana? We're having some technical difficulties in connecting. Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief and publisher, are you with us?
I definitely am, Danielle.
Oh, great. Now we can hear you. We couldn't hear you. The third annual Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards at Glen Arbor Golf Club, Bedford Hills, New York. Magnificent club hosting this wonderful, the Culinary Excellence Award. How do, you know, I know that the certifications are still underway, and it's an incredible process these clubs go to. You become certified. Certificates of culinary excellence have gone out to Glen Arbor, Siboney, Liberty National, Addison Reserve, Richland Country Club, Naples National, Royal Poinciana, Greenwich Country Club, because of the excellence within, but also because of, you know, showing it. And showing Diana, who came up with the requirements that you have to become one of the people who receives the certification?
During the pandemic last year, in 2020 at least, we had several people in the industry had this vision to create such a certification in the industry on the culinary side. So I reached out to multiple GMs and executive chefs from clubs in the United States, and we came up with a program, and it was all written up by professionals. And now we've got our first eight, nine clubs, and getting some interest from people calling in to see how they can be involved, which is really exciting because it's not easy to get a program like this off the ground.
What is the certification for?
It's for an overall club experience on the culinary wine, cocktail, front and back of the house experience. I mean, there's a lot of categories. I think I sent you the introduction packet.
Yes.
Yeah, so like I clearly didn't write it up myself because, you know, I'm a magazine and business producer, but
right.
It's been professionally written up, and we're really excited to get that moving. You know, the only thing you worry about all the time is the climate that we're in. We don't know. We just have to keep going and keep creating the new programs and hope for the best with the current COVID crisis.
Yes, absolutely. That's all we can do is keep on going forward. You have this third annual Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Award at Glen Arbor, and the chefs that are cooking, it's amazing. You know, Michael, executive chef at Glen Arbor, Jason Voisel, executive chef, Naples National, Juan Pablo, the executive chef, Royal Poinciana, Jonathan Hancock, Executive Chef, Richland Country Club. Dominic Kala, Executive Chef, Round Hill Club. Marissa Hernandez, Executive Pastry Chef, Glen Arbor. Sommelier Fernando Silva, Wine Director and Sommelier at Glen Arbor. And the special guest mixologist who was on the show recently, Sean Lewis, CCM, CEC, PC, III, Assistant General Manager, Executive Chef at Liberty National. I don't know how he wears that many hats. And of course, pretty soon the FedEx Cup kicks off its run at Liberty National. So this is great. But the awards that are going out include some of the very new people in the industry, and you have specifically the Golf Kitchen Rising Star Award. How do you pronounce Hannah's name?
Oh, come on, Danielle.
Laura
Mihajlovic.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to go with. You know, Mihajlovic. Yeah, no problem. From Misner Country.
Got that out.
Oh, come on, Diana. You're giving me a hard time.
My Australian accent.
Yes, you know, but you did. But you did a great job with your. It sounds even better with your Australian accent. So we were talking about young Hannah. How old is she?
29 years old, and she is an absolute protege chef.
It's amazing.
I have met one other executive chef that was 28, 29, and that was Anthony Massis at Casa de Campo in Dominican Republic. And she is extremely passionate about her cooking and her career, and it only shows young people that the club industry is a great industry to work in. We really need to promote youth coming into the industry because, as you know, there's going to be a big changeover soon of staff and the line of succession. And if you don't have young people involved in the industry, you're not going to have any staff because you can't bring in the Europeans to do the seasonal things anymore. And you really need to be focusing on getting the word out that private club industry, the country club industry, is a great career path.
Well, we need to get the word out. She'll have to be on the show.
I'm sure she would love to.
Yeah, that would be grand. You know, my son wanted to be an executive chef. He went to a culinary arts program at our Kapiolani Community College. There were a number of different reasons why he had a hard time fulfilling his initial dream. He discovered that it wasn't quite what he expected, not only in the school setting, but also in the work setting. He was working in a restaurant. And you have to explain to kids what they're getting themselves into, because it's not an easy job to get into. It's not an easy profession. There's a lot of competition.
Yeah, you have to be able to, you have to have the passion, but at the same time, in the private golf and country club space is really developing on the culinary side. So it's becoming an industry importance to get the word out there to young people. And we need marketing teams. We need people that really care about the industry, because if you don't, you know, I'm in my 50s and a lot of the GMs are getting ready to retire and the chefs are getting ready to retire. You need to be able to replace those people. And if you don't get the word out there that this is the benefits of working in the industry, you're not going to have any staff, and they're having a hard enough time as it is retaining staff.
Okay. Well, I think that's really an important message, because I'm not sure that anybody thought they could get a job in a private country club. You know, it's not something you think, oh, I think I'll go work in a private country club. So I think this is a really good message for young people trying to figure out what their possibilities are, you know, in life. And that's very good. I just wanted to mention that Baltrazol, a golf club in Springfield, New Jersey, the Baltrazol, is the Culinary Excellence Award for Outstanding Private Golf Club or Country Club recipient. That's
right.
Yes. That's, That is a gorgeous place, isn't it?
Yeah, you really feel... What I feel at Baltusrol is just, it's a property of golf history. I mean, I've never seen, and I've been to a lot of places, but they have the most incredible collection of golf memorabilia for years and years and years and years and years since they've been in existence. But they also have an amazing wine program, and they have an amazing culinary program that's led by Ed Stone. And the name Stone means leave no stone unturned.
Yes.
They definitely don't do that at Baltusrol. Mm. It is just an incredible property. And, you know, very worthy, and they're very pleased about this award.
Well, I would be too. Baltusrol Golf Club, Springfield, New Jersey, Culinary Excellence Award for an Outstanding Private Golf Club or Country Club. Culinary Excellence Award for an Outstanding Golf Resort or Community, Reynolds Lake Oconee in Greensboro, Georgia. You went there, and didn't you stay there?
I've stayed there for about 5 days. I can't fault that property. I mean, they have a Ritz-Carlton on the property. They have at least 10 eateries. You know, they have a huge real estate market there. It's just, you know, it's kind of like the inland Kiowa Island. It is just amazing.
You and you said you wanted to live there. You didn't really want to leave, I think, when we talked.
I didn't want to leave. I was having a real... It was like they have a great thing going on there. It's, you know, you have your Kiowa Island. You know how much I love Kiowa Island.
Yes.
And Reynolds Lake Oconee for me is on that same level. It's just lakes instead of beaches.
Yeah. Well, it sounds and looks lovely when I was looking at the pictures. Culinary Excellence Award for Outstanding Executive Chef at a Private Golf or Country Club. Edward Leonard, Fresh Meadow Country Club, Glen Cove, New York. Awesome.
Ed Leonard was actually voted by his peers. He's been a mentor to many, many, many chefs. He used to be the president of the American Culinary Federation, and he recently has moved up to Fresh Meadow from the Polo Club in Florida. But he is an outstanding chef, and his peers have voted this award to be for him.
That's wonderful. Wow, what an honor. And Culinary Excellence Award for Outstanding Executive Chef at a Golf Resort or Community, Brian Skelding, the Greenbrier in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. I wish we were still playing golf at the Greenbrier. I always enjoyed the tournaments there. Brian, tell us about him.
Brian Skelding he's been at the Greenbrier now for it seems like years and years, but he's a culinarian through and through, and he has a team that he teaches. They have a culinary program. Many, many, many chefs that I talk to have been through the Greenbrier program at one point or another, and most of them excel thereafter, so... It's a very fitting award for him.
That's wonderful. You know, are there still seats, tables available for the evening at Glen Arbor?
We are getting to the point where we're going to be full. There's only 80 seats. We have a cap of 80 because we like to keep it very private and great treatment. The wines are being supplied by Gallo Wines, and also the main four-course menu wines are being supplied by Laurent Drouin of Joseph Drouin Wines.
Wow. And this is part of the Golf Kitchen Wine Program Award is to Glen Arbor Golf Club. I'd love to see their wine cellar.
Well, yeah, that's being presented by Laurent Drouin himself to Glen Arbor.
Wow. That's
a really... I'm very, very proud of that. Program. I'm very blessed to be working with some of the best people
in the industry, bringing the wine industry into Golf Kitchen and the private club sector to elevate the wine programs globally. It's something that I would never have dreamed to be working with these incredible people. I mean, it's just amazing.
That's why I said you're doing really good. Golf Kitchen Purveyor of the Year Award is Thomas Capobianco, HAFSCO, and the Visionary Leader in Club Management Award for a private golf or country club, Martell Meyer, Richland Country Club in Nashville, Tennessee. These are this is an outstanding list, and things just keep getting better and better. Diana DeLucia, I am so proud of you. You're doing outstanding work. Thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Hope to see you soon.
Yes, and I have to tell you, I have friends in the restaurant industry, and when they get your magazine and they got your book, and sometimes they find a recipe that they do incorporate, I just, you know, they just wanted to say... You know,
that's pretty cool, right?
Yes, it's very, very cool that, you know, recipes are going around and around and around through Golf Kitchen. Go to golfkitchen.com, golfkitchen.com, and you can get your magazine subscription. It's fantastic for friends. You don't know what to get your favorite foodie, somebody who loves to, you know, do things in the kitchen and practice being a chef. You know, they'll find some very interesting things. And Diana DeLucia is founder and editor-in-chief and publisher of Golf Kitchen. That's golfkitchen.com. Thank you for being a sponsor of our golf show. Rainer Doors, go to hawaiidoor.com. hawaiidoor.com. Beautify your home. Protect your home. Keep your loved ones safe in your home. Get a new Rainer garage door. Raised panel. Recessed panel, carriage house designs, flush styling, unmatched strength and durability. It's over hurricane force winds certified. So this is a fantastic place to go. And of course, you've got an old door, get a new one. It'll be nice and quiet. Have a new garage door installed and make it a Rainer overhead door. Call 808-676-3667. HawaiiDoor.com for the styles. Tell them Danielle sent you. That's 676-DOOR. Aloha Power Equipment. And boy, the build-out is coming along for the moving sale and the move-in soon. Until the store is empty, they're on sale. Things that you need to go into Aloha Power Equipment and discover. We put power at your fingertips for everything you need, including the Honda mower. The last time I checked, it was on sale. Sand Island and Waipahu stores. Aloha Power Equipment. Go now. MD Restoration. Flood or fire disasters, you need help. And you need it 24/7. When disaster strikes, call MD Restoration. Flood or fire disaster. They're licensed contractors. They'll put everything back in order. Clean up and repair. The number is 528-3434. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.